This is the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast, presented by Massage Envy, the first podcast devoted entirely to Arkansas baseball. Featuring insight from Arkansas baseball color analyst, Bubba Carpenter. Here's Matt Jones.
Arkansas coming off a big SEC series win over Ole Miss, but the Razorbacks lost to Missouri State in the midweek through a little bit of cold water on the momentum that they had. They go to Auburn this weekend, where they'll play the Tigers in a matchup of the two top teams in the SEC West standings. Arkansas 14-7 in the SEC with 3 weeks to play. Auburn is in a three-way tie for second place in the West with an SEC record of 12-9. Matt Jones with Bubba Carpenter. And Bubba, let's just start off with the Missouri State game last night. Arkansas losing 6-4. The bats just didn't come awake until the ninth inning, and by that point it was too late. They did get the tying run in scoring position, brought the winning run to the plate, and Dylan Leach grounded out to end a ninth inning rally that had produced three runs to that point. It just looked to me like, and we heard Dave Van Horn say something about this after the Texas A&M game about a week and a half ago, that in midweek games this time of year, it's hard to get teams motivated. And it just didn't look like Arkansas was very motivated to play that game against Missouri State last night. Kind of looked like the Tuesday night game against UCA last week. They're able to put the midweek games behind them now and focus on conference play. And I have to think, after watching them play midweeks the last 2 weeks, they're probably pretty happy with that.
You're right, Matt. I mean, I'm not a big fan of excuses, but you know, it's hard for these guys to flip that switch. You know, they're coming off a huge win, series win against Ole Miss, and then they've got a quick turnaround, and they've got to play, you know, Missouri State. And a lot of these guys, these younger guys, don't know the history of us and Missouri State, some of the battles that we've had. But you know, I think a lot of them are already looking forward to Auburn and the weekend, and it just, we came out flat. And you know, I watch our hitters, you know, and I guess for me, I used to sit in on the hitters all the time, and I thought Nate Thompson, you know, did a great job of putting together a plan of attack for every starting pitcher that we faced. And then the guys out of the bullpen, they had a really clear plan, you know, with schedule changes, COVID and all that. I don't sit in on those meetings anymore, but I can always look at the scouting report of a pitcher. And then, I mean, it's awesome to watch that, to see it all unfold and come together. And we do a great job of doing it. I think the staff does a great job preparing the hitters. Hitters do a good job, but I tell you what, I was frustrated last night, and man, I'm a glass half full guy. I was frustrated because I just felt like I don't like to see guys give away at bats. I felt like last night we went up there and gave away some at bats in some situations. And we swung at pitchers' pitches and hitters' counts, or we just went up there and swung in a first pitch pitcher's pitch that we shouldn't swing at. And I never could figure out really what our plan of attack was. Now tip your hat, you know, Reese Lang did a good job. You know, he didn't throw a lot of balls over the middle of the plate, but we swung at pitches I don't think we should have swung at. And I really think hitting is it's so mental when you step in that box. If you're not fully engaged and locked in, you're not going to have success. And I just feel like we weren't into it mentally last night. And like I said, I feel like we'd already kind of turned the page, and guys are looking forward to Auburn this weekend.
I've always thought, don't look too much into the final score result of midweek games. Midweek games are managed so much differently than games on the weekend. Even Tennessee lost to Tennessee Tech earlier this year in a midweek game at a neutral site. I think the frustrating thing for the Razorbacks last night, like you said, had to be the lineup. But you know, you kind of look at what Missouri State did. They scored 5 of their 6 runs against pitchers who are not weekend pitchers for the Razorbacks. Now, Will McIntyre is going to travel with the team to Auburn this weekend. He might be used in the Sunday game against the Tigers. You know, the one run, I guess, that would be the exception against Missouri State was Cole Ramage, and his role on the weekends has been diminished greatly. You know, and I just think about all these little things that add up. You got Dylan Leach playing behind the plate. Dylan Leach is becoming a much better player, but he's not Michael Turner defensively. You know, there were some wild pitches last night that I thought maybe Michael Turner might have been able to block. There was a stolen base. You wonder about Turner being more of a veteran catcher and how that might change things in terms of pitch sequences and things of that nature. Midweek games are just so weird because you want to win the game. You need to win the games because if you lose, it's a little bit of an RPI hit. But at the same time, you're trying to use these games to get primarily pitchers and some position players experience. It's a really fine line that these coaches have to walk on Tuesday and Wednesday nights.
Well, I think so. But for me, Matt, more so than the score, it's for me, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And like I said, I just feel like we came out kind of flat last night. You know, Will McIntyre, I thought he made some really good pitches. I thought several of the guys came out and made some really good pitches. We fell behind a couple of hitters, and good hitters, when they get ahead in the count, they put the barrel on it. And that's what happened. They hit a couple of big home runs. But, you know, I think for me, it's just the kind of the offensive side of it is where I was frustrated. But, you know, and Dylan Leach's defense, though, I will say I'm sitting right behind home plate. A couple of those balls, no one catches. He had a couple where he set up on one side of the plate, and they missed really bad on the other side of the plate. So, you know, there were a couple of pitches that were pretty bad. You know, I think Nick Griffin's got a chance to be really good down the road. He's got good stuff, but he missed really bad on a couple of pitches that got by Dylan Leach. But, you know, the midweek games, you know, at the end of the day, you see some crazy things happen. And, you know, it's just hard for these guys to flip that switch on for a Tuesday night game, I think, especially when you get this late into the season. And, you know, hopefully we'll regroup, learn from it, and then go into Auburn ready to go this weekend.
It feels like a loss like the one they had last night can potentially be beneficial to a team. It doesn't hurt them in the SEC standings. And it gets their attention that, hey, we're not playing as well as we could be. And maybe you see that be beneficial for them going into Auburn this weekend.
Yeah, I think so. A lot of times this can be a good thing. And, you know, guys just kind of look in the mirror and say, okay, wait, we got to do a better job. And, you know, we'll find out going into Auburn this weekend. It's going to be that's a tough environment to go into. Auburn's, we know they can hit the ball up and down the lineup. They score a lot of runs. And so, you know, hopefully we will. We'll roll into town. We'll show up Friday night ready to go.
You could probably speak to this as well as anybody, Bubba. You know, they didn't play well against UCA the week before. They won 2-1 in 10 innings. But there's a difference between being able to eke out a win when you're not playing well versus actually losing a game. I just feel like a loss really gets your attention much more than a close win does.
I think so. And look, baseball's such a mental game. I know people get tired of hearing it. Look, Missouri State, they showed up last night on a mission. They wanted to win that game. You know, we went out it was just a Tuesday night game for us, but they showed up ready to play and they wanted to win. And, you know, they played a good game, except for the ninth inning. They kicked the ball around a little bit. You know, I think if we'd have put a little more pressure on them early in the game, we might've seen that same thing happen, but you know, it's a mental game and they showed up ready to play. And I just feel like we didn't give our best effort. And so, you know, it's a Tuesday night and you see things like happen and let's learn from it. And hopefully that'll light a fire in us and we'll be ready to roll.
Dave Van Horn said before the game that these kind of games always kind of worry him a little bit. He said, because you get Missouri State on a bus ride down and they're focused in on the game for 2 hours before they even get to the stadium. Whereas you've got the players who are at home, they're showing up from class, they're showing up from their apartments. It's just a much different mindset. But let's talk about the lineup, the offense for this team. You and I both watched them in the fall. We watched them in the preseason. We thought this was going to be, and the coaches thought this was going to be a lineup that really just had a spectacular year. It has not been that way. You know, you're 45 games into the season. You are what your stats say you are at this point. We all think that Arkansas has got the potential to break out of this and have some big offensive weekends. But, you know, the average is what the average is. What do you think is going on with this lineup? And then you look at the Ole Miss series last week. All of their runs came on home runs. They scored 12 runs on 6 home runs. Do you see that as a concern that they're scoring, that they're having to rely on the home run so much? I mean, how do you kind of analyze where this lineup is right now?
Yes and no, Matt. You know, I go back and I look at last year's teams, and I'm a moneyball guy. At the end of the, you know, you can talk about slugging percentage, on base percentage, you can talk about all those things, but at the end of the day, how many runs are you scoring? How many runs are you giving up? And if you compare us to last year's team, 2021, they scored 7.6 runs per game. Right now we're averaging 7.1 runs per game. Last year we allowed 4 runs per game. This year we're allowing 3.5. But I look at that 7.1 runs per game that we're scoring right now, and I look at the guys. I look at Braden Webb. Look at the slow start he got off to. Look at Jace Borfin. He got off to a slow start. Then he got hurt. Now he's coming back, trying to get his swing back. There's been so many things happen. You know, Brady Slavin's got off to a slow start. I really think if you look at where we're at now, I think last year's team peaked, you know, early, and then we kind of fizzled out at the end. We got into postseason. We had some guys slumping. You know, you look at where Robert Moore's at right now. Robert's hitting 230 right now. At the end of the season, he's not going to be hitting 230. He's going to flip a switch. I just know it because good players show up at clutch times, and I think Robert's going to show up. And I just think it's a matter of time before that runs per game starts to creep up just a little bit more. Our pitching's been awesome. And I think it's going to happen. I talked to the ESPN guys. I talked to Tom Hart and Kyle Peterson last week when they were in town, and they asked me about the offense. And I said, look, I am still confident that these guys are going to get the click in. I just feel it happening. I know it's in there. We've seen them all do it. And I just expect us to start putting it together as we get ladder, you know, towards the end and getting ready for postseason.
You mentioned Moore. He's hitting 189 right now in SEC play. It feels like he's had a lot of hits that have been taken away from him. What I'm seeing with him at the plate, Bubba, and I'm sure you are too, especially whenever he's batting left-handed, they're really putting the shift on. I mean, these are really defined shifts, and they're taking hits away from him. I wonder what you think about his approach, and are there things that he can do to raise his batting average in SEC play?
Well, I think the main thing is just – is getting pitches to hit, getting good pitches. Like last night, he's swinging a couple pitches out of the zone and made outs on them early in the count. He did get a strike on the outer part of the plate, drove it to left field for a base hit. You know, good hitters swing good pitches. I tell you this at least once a week. Good hitters are defined by what they swing at. I'm seeing Robert expand the zone a little bit. I really am. And I don't know if he's pressing. Look, he's not a guy that gets up there. He's not, I don't think he's got draftitis or whatever. You know, there are all kinds of names for that. I don't think that's Robert Moore. I think he's just trying too hard to help the team win. And, you know, he's going out of the strike zone a little bit. I think if he'll just zone back in and get good pitches in his zone, I think he's going to start putting good swings on him again. Now, with that being said, I think out of all the players on the team, he's had more hard hit balls at people this year than anyone else. I mean, he's really had some bad luck on top of that. So that number that you're referring to could be a lot higher. Just a few of those have fallen in.
Are you surprised to see him still hitting so high in the lineup with the numbers that he's putting up? Because he's pretty consistently stayed in that 3-4-5 range for most of the season. I wonder, you know, we've seen hitters when they drop them down low or in the lineup, say like 8 or 9, it kind of maybe takes a little bit of the pressure off of him. I wonder if you think we might see that at some point with him.
I don't think so, because I think Dave Van Horn and the staff, they have confidence in Robert. Robert has confidence in himself that he's going to figure out a way to get it done. And I don't see him moving. He has a knack for that big hit and driving in, finding a way to drive in that run. And I don't think that's going to change. But, you know, I could be wrong. You know, Dave might shift things up again this weekend going into Auburn.
For all of Moore's troubles, he does lead the team in SEC RBI or RBI in SEC games. You know, the tough thing I think about Robert is that we've seen times, say like Braden Webb, he took some games off. They were able to give Brady Slavin some games off. Moore is so valuable because of what he can do defensively. We saw that in the Ole Miss series, even saw it again last night against Missouri State, that you never want to take him out of the game because of how valuable he is up the middle.
Well, if you look at Ole Miss alone, we turned 9 double plays in that series, which is – that's got to be a record. I didn't go back and look, but 9 double plays in a series, and several of those were not routine double plays. A lot of teams don't turn some of those. And so even though Robert's not hitting consistently, he's saving us a whole lot of runs. And so that goes a long way right there. But he is special out there at second base. Him and Jalen Battles up the middle, I mean, they're just ridiculous. Our whole defense is really good, especially in the infield. I mean, we're saving a lot of runs. Fielding percentage is up there probably – you know, I don't know where we're at in the nation, but I know we're up at the top, and it's just I still think that the hitting part's going to come around. I really do. As we get closer to postseason, I think these guys are going to get it going.
With the way that Arkansas is pitching and the way that they are fielding, you don't have to have great offensive numbers. It helps if you had better offensive numbers than what they have right now. But, you know, going into the Missouri State game, I don't know if that game changed anything. Certainly didn't change it from a fielding perspective. Arkansas was 5th nationally in ERA, 2nd nationally in fielding percentage. it's, you know, it's like any other sport. If you can play defense, if you can pitch and you don't commit errors that allow teams extra outs and potentially extra runs, unearned runs, you're going to be in every game you play. And that's what I really see from this team. There just have not been very many games this year. Maybe the second game at Florida really is the only one I can think of where they've just totally been out of it.
Well, the old adage, pitching and defense wins, you know, it's so true, Matt. And everyone loves to talk about the offense. I do. I love offense. I love talking hitting. I love the battle of a hitter stepping up and back pitcher, just one-on-one. But, you know, pitching and defense, what wins? Look at the teams that win every year, the teams that throw the ball over the plate. They play good defense. And another thing that you always notice is the teams that don't strike out a lot, don't give up outs. Those are the teams that are always playing at the end of the season. And we're right there in those categories. We're looking pretty good in those categories. So I think we're going to be fine.
Hey, Van Horn's had some teams. 2012 comes to mind. 2015 comes to mind that did not score a lot of runs, but the pitching was so good. You know, this is the best defensive team I think they've ever had, and the numbers back that up. They're about 4 or 5 percentage points ahead of last year's team that set the school record. You know, but he's had some teams that have had to get there because of pitching and defense. I heard someone say something the other day. Well, you know, you got to be able to score runs in the Super Regional. I think about the 2012 team. They beat Baylor 1-0 in a 10-inning game in order to advance to the College World Series. If you can pitch and you can play defense, you know, it's going to take you a long way. I think that problems at the plate, Bubba, really kind of overshadow how good this team has been in the field and on the mound. People expected the offense to be the strength of this team. Obviously, pitching and defense has become the team's strength. And I feel like people probably are undervaluing how good that has been because they're so focused on what's happening at the plate.
I think so. I mean, you can hear grumbling in the stands, you know, if we go 3 up, 3 down in an inning. And I think so, but I think real baseball people look at this team and they see the potential. You know, I look up and down this lineup and I see a ton of potential. I look at our starting staff, you know, our starting pitching. And, you know, we've had a couple of weekends where, you know, Hagen wasn't on the top of his game. Jackson Wiggins kind of struggled a little bit, but, you know, he hadn't been terrible. The stuff's still there. It's just a matter of commanding it. But I see so many good things in this lineup, you know, from a pitching perspective. You know, I still like our bullpen. We've got some really good weapons that match up late in the games down in that bullpen. I just see us putting it all together, Matt. And look, I'm a Razorback fan. I tend to look through Razorback goggles, but I also don't sugarcoat it. And I think when it's all said and done, that I think they're going to figure it out. I mean, Dave Van Horn teams, I see a lot of teams do this and then all of a sudden, boom, they flip that switch on and they're rolling. And I think it's going to happen.
I think about the 2009 team that lost its last 8 SEC games and all of a sudden they were playing in the semifinals of the College World Series. All you got to do is get hot at the end of the year. That's really all that matters. Let's talk about the Ole Miss series. Arkansas loses 4-2 on Friday. Connor Nolan gets hit around like we haven't seen him get hit around this year. Ole Miss had 11 hits, also walked 4 times against him, but he still gave Arkansas 8 innings. It was a really interesting outing. The double plays certainly helped behind him. The Razorbacks win 6-3 Saturday. Kendall Diggs hit the walk-off home run in the 9th inning. What a moment that was, and we'll talk about it more in a few minutes. And then on Sunday, Arkansas wins 4-3. They get a couple of 2-run home runs from Chris Lanzilli and Michael Turner. Brady Tigert pitched really well, I thought, in the final 3 innings of that game. Zach Morris gave him 3 great innings in the middle of the game. They were getting squeezed. I don't think there's any doubt about that, Bubba. The pitchers were. And it affected Arkansas more than it affected Ole Miss because Arkansas's approach, I thought, offensively was a lot more aggressive than we have seen in any other series this year. They were swinging at a lot of first and second pitches and really weren't driving up the pitch counts for Ole Miss quite like we've seen them do in other games. But I think it's really telling, and I don't want to bash the umpires a whole lot, but I do want to talk about how tight the strike zone was. Nolan sets a career high and walks on Friday night, walks 4 batters. He's not a pitcher who walks people, had walked 14 all year prior to that game. And then where I thought it was really evident was in the late innings on Saturday and Sunday, Evan Taylor and Brady Tiger, prior to Saturday, had walked 11 batters in 44 innings. Okay, over six innings against Ole Miss, those two walked 10. Those aren't pitchers who walk people, and I think that shows you how tight that zone was that they were throwing into.
Yeah, it was frustrating, Matt. You know, we have the track man in the booth, and I'm sitting there looking at the track man and watching where some of those pitches are. I tell you what, Evan Taylor got squeezed really bad Saturday. I know there was one pitch Hayden Dunhurst squared around the bunt, and it was right down the middle of the plate. I mean, it just above the belt, right down the middle. He called it a ball. And there were a lot of pitches. What I didn't understand is, like, let's talk Friday night with Connor Nolan early in the game. I thought the umpire did a great job. Kevin Sweeney was behind the plate. I thought he did a good job early in the game. And I think we've referred to it. You know, he was consistent both ways, but then late in the game, all of a sudden strikes out of nowhere. It gets giant. I know Zach Gregory took two strikes outside that were well to play, strike two and strike three, that, you know, it was a huge situation in the game. And, you know, it's just, you hate to see that. But hey, I will say about Connor Nolan on Friday, he gave up 11 hits. He was able to get through eight innings, but I'll tip sometimes you got to tip your hat to the opponent. I thought Ole Miss did a really good job of taking what Connor gave him. They didn't crush a whole lot of balls. He left a few balls up, but they were able to hit against the shift, which everyone thinks, well, why don't you just hit a ground ball the other way? Well, it's not that easy to do. They did a really good job. They executed a hit and run. They had some guys pull their hands inside, hit the ball the other way with two strikes. I just thought they did a really good job game planning against Connor Nolan. I don't know that he pitched. It wasn't his best stuff. He didn't have that breaking ball going that he usually can strike guys out and put them away with. But, you know, I thought Ole Miss did a good job against him. And then, but back to the strike zone thing, it was unfortunate because it really did affect the game. And yeah, you could see it with Brady Tigert, you know, in Saturday or Sunday's game. You know, he walked the bases loaded, and we really got to see what Brady Tigert's all about in that situation. That's a tough situation for anyone to be in, much less a freshman. And I tell you what, he bowed his neck, found a way to get out of it.
And he did it against maybe the SEC's best hitter, Tim Elko.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. I tell you what, it was tough. So he struck him out on three curveballs the at bat before. And so, you know, Tim Elko is a smart hitter. It's the ninth inning, bases loaded, two outs. You know, Elko's going to go up there and sit on a breaking ball. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, please don't throw it. Please don't. And he throws it and Elko fouls it off, and he throws another one and he fouls it off the other way. And that just goes to show you how special Brady Tigert's breaking ball is, you know. And then he threw 0-2 and he kind of left it over the middle of the plate, but it's such a good pitch. You know, Elko fouled it off, and then ultimately he got him. He threw him a fastball, which was a really good pitch up to kind of get him off the breaking ball a little bit, and then came back with a breaking ball that stayed up and in. And, you know, I was looking at the spin rate on those pitches. That last one he threw was well below his normal spin rate. And actually it was probably a blessing because it didn't break as much. It stayed up and in, and Elko kind of got jammed on it, hit it out in the center field. It was stayed up and in instead of breaking out over the plate. So, but regardless of that, man, so impressed with Brady Tigert, the way he bowed up right there. And he threw some pitches that were strikes. He really did. He struck a couple of those guys out, and they ended up calling ball four on him. And he didn't let it affect him. He figured out a way to get out of it. And, man, that's what I love.
And I was impressed, too, the fact that he was doing that, that he was still pitching well late into that game. He had pitched two innings the night before. At least one of them was a stressful inning because he inherited – base runners in a real tight game. I think it might have been a tied game. And then he comes back on Sunday and he throws 70 more pitches. I mean, that's asking a lot of a young pitcher like him. And I think it makes what he did more impressive, the number of pitches that he had thrown to that point in the weekend.
I think so. And they were high stress. A lot of those pitches were high stress. You got to think he went five innings, one hit, no run, six walks, seven Ks, 94 pitches in 2 days. And, you know, a lot of those pitches were, there was a lot of traffic on the bases, questionable calls behind the plate. Let's just put it that way. And, you know, but he battled through it. And so, that just goes to show you what we've got to see out of him in the future. He's a future probably Friday night starter for us because he's got all the weapons. You know, I think he even mixed in a couple of two seam fastballs, which I haven't seen him throw, and had really good late arm side run on him. Got multiple pitches. We're really just getting to see the fastball curveball or fastball slider. You know, I think he's throwing a little bit of both. One's a curveball. It's got a little more depth on it. One's a little bit harder. It's got more horizontal tilt to it, but that's really what we're seeing out of him right now. But he's got a lot more to go with that that we really haven't seen. And when you're a closer, you don't really use all those pitches. You come in and you use your two best pitches because that's what you want to get outs with. You don't want to get beat with your third or fourth best pitch.
I want to mention, too, real quick, Zach Morris. It's been 1 month now, Bubba, since Zach Morris gave up a run. He is at 6 consecutive scoreless outings, 13 and a third consecutive scoreless innings. Came in a tough situation on Sunday with Ole Miss hitting Jackson Wiggins really well. He shuts him down, gets a couple of double play balls. And, you know, that's just what we're seeing from him right now. He pitches to contact a little bit, but it's not good contact. It feels like what teams are getting off of him. And, you know, you could make an argument that he's Arkansas's best relief pitcher at this point. He goes into Auburn with a 0.90 ERA.
Well, like you said, he comes in and pitches to contact. He throws strikes. He knows how to get outs, and some guys just have a knack for that. They know how to get that ground ball, or they know how to get that out. I think he loves pitching with his defense behind him. I think he even referred to it in the post game about how he just he likes just getting ground ball outs, and that's good. And you look at Zach, how good he's been. You know, Evan Taylor, I think, has been phenomenal. You know, over on Saturday, he walked 4, but a couple of those walks are they're wrong. They shouldn't have been walks. He got squeezed. I think the home plate umpire really underestimated how much break he's got on his slider. And I think it happened with Tigard also. I think he gave up on a couple of those breaking balls and didn't realize he was throwing some backdoor breaking balls to the lefties. I think the umpire gave up. Who was the Sunday umpire?
It was Brian DeBauer, right?
Yeah, DeBauer. And that's the first time I've seen him behind the plate, as far as I know.
That's the first time I've seen any of those umpires, Bubba. I don't know that I've seen any of the 4 umpires who were in Fayetteville last weekend.
Well, Sweeney, I've seen Sweeney before. Okay. But yeah, the other ones, I didn't know the other ones. But DeBauer, I really think he didn't realize how good Brady Tigard's breaking ball was. And a lot of times a guy will give up on it. Some of those backdoor breaking balls, he's wrapping around the outside corner of that plate. He gave up on them. They were strikes, and he's calling them outside. And, you know, you just got to stay with that pitch. But back to your point, you look at Zach Morris and Evan Taylor, that's two really these we've got coming out of the pen right now. And Zach's been great. He came in and threw us 2 more innings last night, scoreless baseball. So it's good having him down there.
Let's talk real quick about what Arkansas did offensively against Ole Miss. We mentioned earlier that all of their home runs accounted for all of their runs. They scored 12 runs on 6 home runs. But Bubba, I didn't think, maybe other than Chris Lanzilli's home run in the 3rd inning on Sunday, I didn't think they were cheap home runs in that series. Lanzilli's looked like it might have gotten up into the wind and carried. You know, if you look at TJ McCants, where he thought that ball was going to go and then he started drifting back toward the center field wall, looked like the wind might have affected that one. But Kendall Diggs' walk-off home run on Saturday night, that was a line drive, no doubter. Michael Turner's go-ahead home run on Sunday, the same thing. Braden Webb hit a couple of really good, solid home runs to left field. Slavin's made great contact, as he always does, on his home runs. And so I don't know how to process what we saw from Arkansas offensively as it pertains to the home runs, because – maybe they were wind-aided. I don't think that most of them were. And even if they were wind-aided, those are still really good, solid hits that at worst are going to be line drive hits off the wall and are probably going to be RBI hits that way. It's just that they happen to go out of the ballpark. And, you know, I think Ole Miss probably would have gladly traded some of the doubles it hit for some home runs.
Yeah, I think so. And well, I think you're right on the Chris Lanzilli home run. That one, that ball was hit hard. Remember, I want to say it was hit 102 or 101 off the bat, but he got under it. But it did carry. But, you know, the thing is I referred earlier to the 7 point runs per game we're scoring right now. I promise you, Matt, if some of those balls that we've hit, I know we've had 15 home runs at least taken away at home. So that number could be way different, but both teams play in the wind, but we're a team that hits the ball in the air. We do. We hit a lot of fly balls, and when the wind blowing in, it does have an effect on us. I think it was good to see a couple of games where we really didn't have the wind as a factor, and you know, we took advantage of it.
Kendall Diggs hit that walk-off home run on Saturday night. What a cool moment for him. It was the first time that he had started an SEC game at home. His only other SEC start had been on the road at Missouri back in March. 3-2 pitch, throws it inside fastball. He just hammers it into right field. And then you know, you hear Dave Van Horn talking afterward, and Kendall Diggs also referenced this, that he had a lot of family and friends who were in the ballpark that day. And I just think that makes for such a neat experience.
Oh, it's awesome. You got to love college baseball. And you know, I felt bad for Kendall because if you look early in the game, he flied out to center and he hit that ball. It was a breaking ball. He stayed through it and hit it 103 to center for an out. Then he hit a one hopper to shortstop, 102. And so, you know, he kind of had some tough luck there. So he came up in the last inning, a huge situation, got some tough breaking balls down his own, swung at a couple. But then, boy, after he saw a couple breaking balls, he took a couple of really good pitches down, fouled one off, got the full count. And I'm thinking in the booth, this guy's going to try. I know he's going to try to sneak a fastball by him right here. And you know, he actually made a really good up and in. And Kendall did a great job getting his hands inside. A lot of lefties hooked that ball foul, or after all those breaking balls, you know, the breaking ball is going to slow your bat down. Then they blow you away with a fastball up and in. Kendall did a great job of getting his hands inside that ball and hammering that ball to right. I was so happy for him, you know, and I'm up in the booth and I got chills on my hair, back of my neck. I got chills on my arm. It was just a great experience, a great atmosphere to be in. The fans were awesome. Watching Kendall run around the bases is priceless. So it's a beautiful thing. And I won't for a while. And I know Kendall won't.
There have been some walk-off home runs since then, but this was Arkansas's first walk-off home run in an SEC game since James McCann against LSU in 2011. It just kind of underscores that that's a really rare thing that Kendall Diggs did. And that's going to be one of those moments that I think people remember at Baum Walker Stadium for a long time. The Whole Hog Baseball Podcast is sponsored by Massage Envy, voted the best day spa and best massage in all of Northwest Arkansas. Visit Mike and his staff in Tuscany Square at 2603 West Pleasant Grove Road in Rogers, or in Fayetteville at 3557 North Shiloh Drive. Massage Envy has services for everyone. MassageEnvy.com.
Massage Envy, with clinics in Rogers and Fayetteville, has been awarded Northwest Arkansas's Best Day Spa and Best Massage. One of the reasons is our care for athletes, both serious and recreational. We now offer rapid tension relief sessions using a high-caliber vibrating tool and total body stretch sessions like the ones used by the PGA. Both of these new services can be combined with the always popular deep muscle treatment. So whether you compete or just want to relax, there is no place better than Massage Envy.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
You know what never goes out of style? A great burger. And for a long time now, the best burgers around have been made at CJ's Butcher Boy. I've been stopping at their Russellville location for years to enjoy a double with bacon, cheese, and all the fixings. Well, the fries are always made fresh, and their shakes are made with real premium ice cream. And now that CJ's Butcher Boy has a Fayetteville location too on Weddington, you can bet I'll be there a lot more. CJ's Butcher Boy in Russellville and Fayetteville. When all you do are burgers, they have to be the best.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast. Now let's look at this week in the SEC, presented by CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers.
3 weeks to play before the SEC tournament in Hoover. It's still a tight race in the SEC West. Tennessee is running away with the SEC East title, and the Volunteers, you know, with some help, could potentially win the SEC overall crown this weekend. Last week's results, A&M defeated Vanderbilt 2-1. Missouri beat Mississippi State twice in Columbia. In fact, on Saturday, Missouri scored 19 runs. It was the most runs they've ever scored in an SEC game. Missouri and LSU won their series on walk-off home runs. LSU won 2-1 over Georgia in Baton Rouge. Florida took 2-3 from Kentucky. Tennessee took 2-3 over Auburn in probably the best series of the weekend. And South Carolina swept Alabama. Alabama is really faltering down the stretch. This was a team that was in contention in the SEC West just a few weeks ago. Bubba, it seemed like the thing everybody was talking about after the weekend was Tony Vitello throwing the bat back at the Auburn dugout after Auburn had hit a home run late in the game on Saturday. And do you think we're paying too much attention to Tennessee, or is it really there's something going on in every series that they play that just seems like it's out of the ordinary?
I think in the beginning we're paying too much attention to it, and you know, I think now it's become, it's kind of an issue. It seems like every week something happens. And, you know, I think it's kind of ironic that, you know, Tony Vitello's complaining about a bat flip, where if you watch a Tennessee game, they're the king of bat flips. You know what I mean?
Lack of self-awareness.
So, yeah, exactly. But, you know, now the bat did hit and it bounced over against their dugout, but it wasn't on purpose. What Tony did was totally out of line. And, look, I compare everyone, you know, if I'm coaching college baseball, he would be the person I'd want to model my coaching style after. And Dave Van Horn would never grab an opposing bat and throw it across the field at the other team. I don't care what you say. You know, I get it. You get heated, you get fired up, but you gotta control that. And, you know, I think that's over the top. I think it's just a little too much. He's lucky he didn't hit one of the players, because it bounced right through the middle of their players when they're celebrating their home run. So that could have been no telling what kind of suspension. But, you know, I think to answer your question, I think, yeah, at some point it becomes an issue where it seems like every week something else is happening.
And it feels like it's going to potentially cause something in a game between the two dugouts. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it just feels like there's so much animosity in those Tennessee games, especially the ones they play in Knoxville, that at some point something's going to boil over and it might not be pretty.
I think you're right. I say it all the time. Every manager or head coach I played for, you know, you watch that team, they take on their personality. And you see Dave Van Horn teams, Dave's tough, he's gritty, and that's the kind of baseball that Dave Van Horn players, that's how they play. They take on his personality by the end of the season. See that in Tony Vitello's team. They're mouthy, they're cocky. And look, I think Tony Vitello, I think he's a good coach. He's a great recruiter. He gets good players, but I mean, there's more to it than that. You got to be a role model, and I just don't see it happening right now. And you start to see some of their antics on the field, and it's, you know, it's kind of over the top. And I think it is. I think at some point something's going to happen, because first of all, people are fed up with it. They're tired of seeing it every week. And so they go in with a preconceived notion of, hey, this is what's going to happen. And then, you know, I think it just kind of spills over from there.
Other big news in the SEC this week, Hunter Barco, the Florida left-hander, their ace, is out for the season. He's going to have Tommy John surgery, Bubba. This is the latest SEC team that's lost their ace pitcher. Of course, Arkansas lost Peyton Paulette. Kentucky lost their number one pitcher, Landon Sims at Mississippi State. Connor Prelip never pitched this year at Alabama. You just wonder how much better the league could be if some of these pitchers were able to stay healthy. I don't know that I've ever seen a season like this where you've got now, you know, coming up on close to half of the SEC teams are without their ace going into the postseason.
Well, it's unfortunate, Matt. It really is. But that's part of the game. And, you know, as these guys start to throw harder and harder, you know, things are going to break down. And unfortunately, when it comes to an arm, that UCL ligament, that's kind of the weak link. And so you're starting to see more of these injuries. But it is part of the game. It just, you know, it's unfortunate it happens. And, you know, I wish there was an answer for it. And there's just not. It's part of it. And, you know, we've lived best, and it's just going to continue to happen.
This week's series, Tennessee is at Kentucky, Vanderbilt is at Georgia, LSU's at Alabama, South Carolina at Texas A&M, Missouri goes to Ole Miss, and Florida is at Mississippi State. Of course, you've got Arkansas at Auburn, probably the biggest game of the weekend in the league. In the polls this week, the coaches poll, Tennessee is number one, Arkansas is number three, Georgia fell to number 16 following its loss at LSU. Auburn is 18, LSU was 19, Texas A&M finally in the coaches poll at number 21, and Vanderbilt is number 23. Texas A&M, Bubba, has won three consecutive series over ranked teams, Georgia, Arkansas, and Vanderbilt, and they did two of those on the road. That's a really impressive looking team right now.
Telling you, they're coming on at the right time. They really are. We said it last week that we were both impressed with their team, and you know, they got off to a rough start, but it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And they've got talent there, and they're starting to put it together at the right time. And that goes back to what I say about the Razorbacks. I mean, we haven't played our best baseball yet, and we're two games up in the SEC West. And so, you know, the sky's the limit, I think.
Dave Van Horn said that A&M has got five real key transfers on its team this year. He said that Arkansas went out and tried to get four of them during the offseason, including one, and I can't remember who it was. He said that he hosted him the day after they lost the series to North Carolina State last June. He said that they left the ballpark late on Sunday night, and he was back at Baum Walker Stadium on Monday trying to smile for about 4 hours, taking this big transfer through the Hunt Center. That's got to be a really tough deal.
Boy, that's got to be tough. And because you know DVH, you know how he hates to lose, but I tell you, it's hard to compete with some of the money they've got at A&M. They've got money just everywhere there, and I think they're throwing it at these players. And you know, ultimately though, if I'm a player coming out of high school, or if I'm in a transfer portal, I'm going to look at the money I'm going to make if I come to Arkansas in the Major League Draft and in Major League Baseball, and that's where I'm going to come. For me, it's about development. I think a lot of these kids are getting thrown a lot of money their way, and it's kind of changing the landscape of recruiting.
In the standings right now, Tennessee's got a 7-game lead in the SEC East over Georgia. Volunteers are 19-2 overall in the league. Georgia 12-9. Everybody else in the SEC East has a losing record. Vanderbilt 10-11 with 3 weeks to go. South Carolina 9-12. Florida 8-13. Missouri and Kentucky are both 7-14. In the West, Arkansas, as we said, has got a 2-game lead at 14-7. A 3-way tie for second place between Auburn, LSU, and Texas A&M. Alabama and Mississippi State are both 9-12, and Ole Miss right now 7-14. Bubba, if the SEC tournament were to start today, it would be Ole Miss and Kentucky would be the teams that are left out. Missouri's got a 7-14 record as well, but Missouri holds some tiebreakers.
Okay, so after watching Ole Miss, Matt, are you surprised? Because I looked at their lineup before we played Friday night, and I said it on the air. I'm like, it's hard to believe this was a team that was 6-12. Going into that series this past weekend. You look at the veteran guys in their lineup up and down, and it's just, it's, and I get it. A lot of it has to do with pitching and the end of their bullpen. They've been struggling, but boy, it's hard to believe that they're a team that would not be in the SEC tournament.
You look at who they lost last year. I think so much of Ole Miss is they're being compared to last year's team. They lost Doug Nikhazy. They lost Gunnar Hoagland. They lost Tanner Broadway, their closer. They lost Austin Miller, their long reliever, who it felt like had been there for about 10 years. They lost, I mean, just that right there. That doesn't even get into players like Cody Adcock, who left Ole Miss, and he's at Crowder right now, and he's going to come to Arkansas next season. You know, just those top four pitchers that they lost, that's about 230 innings that they had to replace, and that's a really big deal. And I just think that probably gets overlooked a little bit because they have the lineup coming back that they have. And I think that kind of goes back, Bubba, to what we were talking about earlier, is that pitching and defense can really become an underrated part of a team. And you know, I don't know. If you look at the lineups, I think you could probably make a lot of comparisons between Arkansas and Ole Miss in that the lineups aren't producing quite at the same rate that a lot of the players were the year before. But the difference between the two teams to me is Arkansas's pitching and Arkansas's defense is at a much playing at a much higher level than Ole Miss.
I think you're right. You know, if you look at the pitching staff for Ole Miss, you know, Dylan DeLucia did a good job Friday night, but he's not a guy that scares me. I think if we face him again, light him up. He doesn't have any, you know, he just doesn't have that – the stuff that really worries me. I think they got a guy out of the bullpen, Brandon Johnson. I thought he had really good stuff. He's got a good arm, a good slider, you know, runs a fastball up there, upper 90s. But other than that, I mean, they just don't have those guys. Like I can look at our bullpen and look at our starters and compare it to them, and there's no comparison. So I think you're right. It goes back to the fact that, you know, they just lost so much on the mound. But then you look at what we lost Kevin Copps. So we lost quite a bit of outs there as well. So, you know, it's crazy right now in the game of baseball how it could change from one year to the next.
Yeah, Copps and Paulette and Wickland are all SEC type pitchers. You know, I thought Arkansas was going to hammer DeLucia. They had 5 hits in the first 10 at bats against him, and just a lot of mental errors. I thought, you know, base running mistakes, things of that nature, really contributed to them not getting off to a very good start against Ole Miss, because it looked like they could have him on the ropes really early in that game.
Well, I think so. You know, okay, so look at I always play the what if game, and it can keep you up at night. So I don't recommend it, Matt. You look in the first inning alone, you know, we get 3 hits. You know, Robert had the big hit to field, makes a wide turnaround first. It's an aggressive play. They threw behind and picked him off into the inning. It should have been first and third, 2 outs with Morfin coming up. You know, could have changed, could completely change that. The next inning, we get a strikeout throwout. Morfin leads off the inning with a single on a 3-2 pitch. We steal. Jalen chases a fastball up in the zone. A 3-2 fastball, and Morfin gets thrown out at second for 2 outs. It should have been first and second, nobody out in the second inning. No telling how that changes. You know, and then the third inning is the same. Braden Webb leads off with a single, and then Zach Gregory chases a high fastball with a 3-2 count. Once again, 3 innings in a row, we should have had runners on base. Right there in the third, we should have had first and second, nobody out. So many things can change, and it goes back to what Dave Edwards says all the time. Every pitch can affect the outcome of the game, and it's so true, and it was so true this Ole Miss weekend.
The SEC Report is brought to you by CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers, the best burger in 2 towns. Visit the original at 2803 North Arkansas Avenue in Russellville, or the newest location at 3484 West Weddington Drive in Fayetteville, just minutes from the ballpark. Skip the line and order online or download the app in your app store. CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers. When all you do are burgers, they have to be the best. And one other SEC note, Bubba, Arkansas had 2 SEC Players of the Week this week. Braden Webb was the position player of the week, and Brady Tigert was the freshman of the week. Braden had multiple hits in every game last week, had 2 hits against UCA and then 2 hits in all 3 games against Ole Miss, had those 2 home runs against the Rebels. Maybe it was he kind of quietly played a really solid series. I don't know that I noticed him a whole lot until I went back at the end of the weekend and kind of looked at the, you know, the overall box score. And it's like, man, he played really well.
It's awesome that he got off to such a slow start and he finally flipped that switch and turned it on. And so really proud of him for how he's come on and played. And he really did have a great weekend. And then we all know what Brady Tigert did. It was phenomenal, especially for a freshman to do what he did. So well-deserved on both ends of that.
Real quick, Arkansas's last 3 SEC series, 2 of them are on the road. Vanderbilt comes to Fayetteville next week. They go to Auburn, then Vanderbilt, then to Alabama on the short week before the trip to the SEC tournament in Hoover. Arkansas is in the driver's seat in the SEC West. You win these 3 series, you're probably going to win the division, unless a team like A&M or LSU has a couple of sweeps in there and puts some pressure on you. How do you assess where Arkansas is right now in the SEC and what these final few weekends look like for them?
I think we're in a great spot, Matt, and I referred to it earlier. We're 2 games up in the SEC West, and we haven't played our best baseball yet. And I think we're in a great, you know, anytime you control your own destiny, you know, that's where you want to be in the game of baseball. And I think we're in a great spot right now. I really do.
It seems to me that in about 10 or 11 days, Bubba, they've got the midweek games behind them. They're about to have all their classes behind them. That's the point where I always feel like I see Arkansas really grow as a baseball team, say over those last, I don't know, week and a half of the regular season and then into Hoover, that you get more practice time. Like I said, you don't have classes weighing you down. Talk about the potential of this team. It feels like the potential, whether they are able to reach that potential, especially offensively, we're probably going to see that in the next couple of weeks.
I think so. And you know, it's when once the classroom stuff's over with, these guys can focus on just solely baseball. And it's almost like being a professional baseball player. That's all you have to worry about is get up in the morning and think about playing baseball all day. And that's a beautiful thing. And so it helps these guys really get their minds right. If they're struggling with something at the plate, they got a little bit of extra time to focus on that in the cages and just kind of work the kinks out and really just get their mind right. And referred to earlier, you know, we all know baseball is such a mental game. And if you're completely locked in, you can really hone in and I think you'll see a difference. I think you're right. If we're going to bring it together, I think it's going to happen in these next couple of weeks.
Massage Envy has been voted the best day spa and best massage in all of Northwest Arkansas. Great therapists and estheticians go along with a new service that I am truly excited about. Rapid Tension Relief uses a special tool that will melt the tension and soreness away. Trust me, you will not be disappointed in the results. I highly recommend this feature along with a total body stretch assisted stretch program. Whether you are competing at a high level or just want to relax, these services are for everyone. Massage, rapid tension relief, total body stretch, deep muscle treatment massage, you choose. Or you can try any combination of those. So the next time you're feeling tight, make sure to call my friends at Massage Envy.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Grease Pig, this is Mike.
Coming in hot! So I can just stay in my vehicle during my oil change?
That's right. The Grease Pig wants to help keep you safe, so now you can stay in your vehicle during your oil change.
These guys are working like a pit crew.
That's part of our 17-point inspection, where we check your belts and hoses, and we check and fill all your fluids, and offer full repair on all vehicles. And, of course, we use Castrol products.
Why do I smoke coffee?
You know our waiting room is still open.
And give up front row seats to my own oil change? No, thank you. You're doing awesome! Mike, I think I'm making them uncomfortable.
Get into the Grease Pig, your local automotive specialist for over 20 years.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast. Let's take a look at the week ahead, presented by Grease Pig.
Arkansas goes on the road this week to play at Auburn at Plainsman Park. The Razorbacks ranked number 3 in the coaches' poll. The Tigers ranked number 18, but the number that's the most important is that Arkansas's got a 2-game lead over the Tigers in the SEC West. Auburn comes into the series 31-14 overall. They are 12-9 in conference play, and Bubba, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about the SEC West is quote down this year. What I think they really mean is that Ole Miss and Mississippi State are down. You have Auburn and Texas A&M right now playing at a really high level. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see 3 or 4 of these SEC West teams get into that super regional weekend. And then you never know what could happen as far as getting to Omaha. Arkansas, LSU, A&M, and Auburn are all playing really well right now. And Auburn's playing as well as any team in the league.
I think so. And I think you nailed it. Everyone's talking about the West being down just because a couple teams you're seeing are down at the bottom. But I tell you, you know, Auburn's scary. Offensively, they scare me. I just don't think they have the pitching to hold us down. I really think we're going there and score some runs. And I feel really good about this weekend going and taking two out of three from them. But, you know, you look at A&M, they're still a team that scares me a little bit. LSU, you know, they're playing well right now, but I think A&M is the team that, you know, that's really coming on, and I think they're putting it together right here towards the end of the season at the right time.
It's a little bit of a smaller ballpark in Auburn. You get that big left field wall that I think they call it their green monster, 315 feet. A lot of times you'll see guys slamming balls into that and you're getting doubles and triples off of it. It really puts a lot of pressure, I think, on whoever's playing defensively in left field for the Razorbacks. You know, how you play off of that wall. It's something that I guess maybe outside of Vanderbilt, you just don't see anywhere else in the SEC.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that I know we'll do as soon as we get into town is they'll have Borfin, they'll have Zach Gregory, they'll have everyone that's going to play left field out there practicing, taking balls off that wall. you know, because Dave Van Horn, I mean, the one thing they're great at is preparation. So they'll make sure that they're ready to go when it comes to that. And, you know, that could play with all the fly balls that we hit, that shorter porch might play right into our game plan.
Auburn's got the best hitter in the SEC, Sonny DeShara, a .436 batting average coming into this weekend. He's hit 13 home runs. He has 40 RBI, 15 doubles this season, 50 walks he's taken, only struck out 28 times. You just don't see these types of numbers from power hitters. Like I think he is. He transfers to Auburn from Samford, and man, what a pickup he's been for them. You're talking about this could potentially be the SEC player of the year that they're going to see this weekend.
Well, I think so, Matt. And the thing is, if you look, he's first in SEC in hitting at .436. The next closest guy is Dominic Keegan at .394. I mean, it's not even close. I mean, he's going away, everybody. He's first in slugging percentage with .842, on base percentage .597. Like you said, 50 walks. I mean, the guy's just been, he's been ridiculous. But now the good thing about it is we can go in and we can game plan for him. If you look at the big hitters that we faced, every weekend, we've done a really good job of shutting down their big hitter. Our staff's done a great job of game planning against their big guy and not letting their big bat in the middle of that lineup beat us. So I think we're going to go in a good plan of attack to DeShara, whether it's don't pitch to him or if there is a hole in that swing, which apparently there's not very many. I haven't seen a lot of video on him yet, but trying to find those holes and attacking those holes. But the key is just don't let him be the one that beats us.
I don't know if we've talked about this a whole lot, but I like OPS better than I like batting average. The older I get, the more I think that that's a better indication of an elite hitter. An OPS right now for DeShara of .1439.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty good.
it's incredible. What he's doing. And I think what he's doing too is kind of overshadowing. They've got another hitter in their lineup, Blake Rambus, who's hitting .362. He's got an OPS near a little over 900 right now. He's having a really good season for them. It's not just DeShara. This is one of the league's best hitting teams. I think they've got the third best average. And, you know, as we saw last week when they went to Tennessee, they were able to score some runs against a Tennessee staff that has not given up a lot of runs this year.
Yeah, they were one of the few teams to go in there and be able to score like that. I have the SEC stats only in front of me. What I have, they're fifth in the SEC with a .276 average just against SEC opponents. We're ninth with .254 average. But yeah, they've got guys up and down the lineup. It's not like DeShara is their only hitter, but if you look up and down their lineup, they got guys that can swing it. They don't strike out a ton. They put the ball in play. You know, it's going to be a big test, but if it comes down to our pitching versus their hitting, I'll take our pitching every time.
The week ahead is brought to you by the Grease Pig. For 20 years, they have specialized in serving UA students, faculty, and staff with two locations in Fayetteville on College Avenue and MLK Boulevard. The Grease Pig has experience for all your repair needs. They also, of course, have complete service oil changes, staffed with ASE certified master technicians. Provide tires and alignment services at their location on College Avenue. The Grease Pig, it's all about taking care of you, a proud supporter of the Whole Hog Baseball podcast. Bubba, I can't help but think about Arkansas going to Auburn, not playing its best, and the 2019 team that went down there and was kind of in a similar boat. You remember they had lost to Ole Miss. I think they had lost to UALR in the midweek, and they lost the first game to Auburn, and then there was that 15-inning game at the back end of a doubleheader that seemed to really turn around that team's season. That was just a couple of weeks earlier than where this game falls in the schedule. A lot of parallels, it feels like, between the 2019 trip there and this one.
I think so. And Phil Elson even referred to that last night on the broadcast, how, you know, losing last night was similar to when we lost to UALR, and then we went on the road to Auburn. And so, you know, there are a lot of similarities there. So we'll see what happens this weekend.
Jackson Wiggins is going to stay in the rotation for Arkansas. Dave Van Horn announced that early in the week. He said that you've got to stand behind your pitcher. Wiggins had three innings against Ole Miss last week, gave up three runs, three hits, three walks, had, I think, two strikeouts in that performance against the Rebels. Obviously, he's not pitching as well as he was early in the season. Van Horn thinks that something's going to click with Wiggins at some point. He said you can't have had the type of success that he's had in the SEC or in some of the SEC weekends this season without it turning around for you. What do you think it does for Jackson Wiggins that he's got the coaching staff very early on in this week standing behind him saying, you know, we still believe in you and we're going to give you another chance in the starting rotation?
No, I think it's huge. Anytime as a player, you've got your coaching staff behind us, behind you, and they have faith in you, that helps a ton. It goes back to the whole mental aspect of the game. But he didn't have his best stuff against Ole Miss, Matt, but he really had a couple of unfortunate breaks against them. Now, he did leave a couple balls up, walked a couple guys, left a couple balls up that got hit hard. But if you look at that fourth inning, you know, he walked Elko to lead off the inning on a 3-2 pitch. Actually made a really good pitch to Graham. I say a good pitch. It was a changeup away, but it was belt high. So Graham hooked it down the line for a double. Didn't hit it hard at all, you know, but he did a good job of getting out there and just staying through the zone, hooked it down the line, got a little bit off the end of the bat for a double. And then Alderman comes up and he makes a really good pitch to Alderman, a fastball up and in that he pulled his hands in and just shot it down the right field line. It was a good pitch. It was just a good piece of hitting. And then, you know, Dave goes and gets him after that. And, but I don't think he wasn't bad that day. He just wasn't sharp. So I still see signs of him putting it together and the stuff is still there 100%. It's just a matter of being consistent with it. And I think I'm going to go in there this weekend and do a great job at Auburn. I really do. I agree with what Dave said. It's going to start clicking.
The command has been the issue for Wiggins, and it's really been that way for most of the season. You know, he struggled with wild pitches. He struggled with hitting batters here lately. It's been struggling with the walks, had all the walks early in the A&M game. Like I said, three walks against Ole Miss. I think he's had six walks now in his last 3 1/3 innings. It seems to me when you have a pitcher who's struggling with command like that, you would rather have them starting a game than putting them in the bullpen and bringing them in potentially a more high-stakes situation, say in the fifth, sixth, seventh innings, and not really knowing what you're going to get with their command. It feels like you've got more time to potentially overcome a bad outing from Jackson Wiggins if he's starting than you do if he's coming out of the bullpen.
I think so. I think the key for Jackson is really figuring out that first inning. If he can come out and get rolling early, I don't know. I know early in the year, a few weeks ago, they tweaked Hagan Smith's pregame routine. I know they made some adjustments this past week to Jackson Wiggins' midweek bullpen. So I don't know if they need to continue to tweak that just a little bit and get him into the game a little more lathered up. Where he can come out there hot in the first inning. I don't know if it's something like that. I don't see it to being a mechanical issue, or they would definitely do that. I think it's just a matter of putting it all together. But boy, he's got such good stuff. But to your point, yeah, you want him out there on the mound starting, because you never know if he gets those pitches going. He threw some really good changeups, which I thought was a good sign this weekend also against Ole Miss. Which is a pitch he hadn't been using much in the past. And that was two secondary pitch last year. So he threw some really good changeups. I think he's a guy that if he's on, he could go out there this week and give you seven strong innings against Auburn. It's just, he's just got to put it all together, Matt.
Second reference I'm going to make to the 2012 team. They had a number three starter that year named Randall Fant, a left-hander who you just never knew what you were going to get from him. Sometimes it would be that you had to go pull him out of the game after 1 1/3 innings, and sometimes he'd get you into the fifth, sixth, seventh innings, and he'd really be on. And I think it really kind of goes to show that there just aren't a whole lot of teams in college baseball who have got a really solid number three starter. I was looking, you know, last week before they played Ole Miss, I think like there had been 33 starters announced, you know, because you got some teams who leave days TBA. So of the 33 starters that had been announced, I think something like nine had ERAs above five. You had several more who were in the high fours. This is just what you get on day three of a weekend in college baseball is a lot of inconsistency in your starting pitching. You just don't know what you're going to get from one week to the next.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, I go into every Sunday and I look at Jackson Wiggins and I look at who we're facing and I'm like, oh, we got this. I always go in with a really good feeling. You know, teams still aren't hitting him hard. I don't have his up to date. Teams are hitting 240 against him. They're just not hitting him hard. know, it's just a, it's like you said, it's a matter of just putting it together and being consistent. And I really think it's going to click with him. He's not a guy that gets phased by the pressure of the moment. He's pretty low keyed, even keeled. So I just think he's going to get it put together here. But I really do every Sunday, Matt, when I look at him, I'm like, oh, we got this. Look at our guy and look at this guy. Like even Derek Diamond this weekend, mm-hmm. I compared Jackson to Derek Diamond at Ole Miss. And I'm like, oh, we're in good shape here. We got this.
That 240 batting average against, just by comparison, that's within 16 percentage points of Arkansas's other two starters, Connor Noland and Hagan Smith. Bubba, they gave Will McIntyre a pretty short start on Tuesday night against Missouri State, and that was in preparation for the thought that they might pitch him against Auburn this weekend. We have not seen him pitch in an SEC game yet this year, but he's pitched well on these Tuesday night games, although the competition hasn't been nearly what he's going to see on the weekends. How do you think what you've seen from him in the midweek might translate into some late-inning relief roles on the weekends?
No, I can see him coming in and doing a good job. He didn't have his best stuff last night, against Missouri State. He went three innings, but I think the number, gave up one hit, two runs, but the three walks, I think that's the number that he has to be careful with. He let off a couple innings with walk. I think for him, just he's got the stuff that plays. If he'll just throw it over the plate and let his defense work behind him, he's got fastball. He's got a breaking ball change. He's got a little cut fastball that he throws. So he's got the weapons to get outs. I think it's just a matter of commanding those, just like we can say that about several guys, but I think he's done a good job on our Tuesday starts. I think he's earned a chance to get a shot on the weekends.
Bubba, one of the big stories this week is that Auburn's going to be without its Friday starter, Hayden Mullins. He was injured during the series against Tennessee last week in Knoxville. Also, Blake Burkhalter, their closer, is questionable. That's big news going into this series for Arkansas, because even before that, you thought Arkansas might match up well with this Auburn pitching staff.
I think so. And that definitely changes things, losing your Friday night guy. But I'll tell you, a big one is that Burkhalter, you look at his numbers, and he's dominant at the end of that bullpen. He's 31 innings, 19 hits, 48 strikeouts. The league's hitting 171 against them. I mean, the guy's got dominant stuff. So if they're without him this weekend, that'd be a definite factor when you get late in these games, because how hard it is to get outs when you get towards the end of those games.
I don't think Auburn has announced its rotation for the weekend, but Trace Bright and Joseph Gonzalez have pitched quite a bit for them in starting roles this year. Bright 2-4, 4.29 ERA. He has been their game two starter. Joseph Gonzalez, a younger pitcher, he's 6-1 with a 2.30 ERA on Sunday for the Tigers. And he was in that list with Connor Noland and a bunch of other SEC pitchers a couple of weeks ago in the NCBWA Pitcher of the Year midseason watch list. Gonzalez has been good. Bright is a pitcher who we've seen in the past. What do you think the key is for Arkansas offensively against the Tigers this week?
I think the key is just to go out and just really put together good at bats up and down the lineup. That we know the potential's in this lineup, and I call it just winning pitches. If you win pitches, you win at bats, and that's just the key for me. And you look at a lineup and you look at a game at the end of the game, most of the time the pitcher doesn't get you out. The hitter gets yourself out by either swinging at a bad pitch, swinging at a pitcher's pitch, bad timing, one or the other. I think you just go up there and put together pure at bats. And I really think we're going to do well against the staff this weekend.
For Arkansas, I think a big key this week is trying to figure out what your lineup looks like. They've been doing a lot of tinkering with the lineup. Kendall Diggs, they gave him a couple of starts at DH last week. Zach Gregory, they took him out. But, I still think Zach Gregory provides a lot of value to your lineup because of his ability to get on base. I mean, you saw what he did against Missouri State when he came in the ninth inning as a pinch hitter on Tuesday night, got hit by a pitch. And then all of a sudden, that kind of contributes to what becomes a big inning and gives them a chance to potentially tie the game at the end. It's going to be really interesting, I think, to see what the lineup looks like this week because, they've been giving some different players some chances, but it seems to me like this lineup is a lot better when you've got Gregory in it in some form or fashion. And then I like what I've seen from Diggs.
I really do. I think Diggs has earned some more time in the lineup. I mean, he's had some good at bats. He's hit some balls hard. You know, we all know what he did Saturday night. And I agree with you, Zach Gregory. I love him. You know, I'm an on base guy. I want guys that get on base, and Zach Gregory finds a way to get on base. Now, you know, I'm also a fan of Orphan because I look and I see so much potential in him. He did drive a couple of balls to opposite field last night and over the weekend. So Orphan's another guy. When he gets hot, I mean, he's got a bat that can carry an offense. And so the problem is there's not enough spots for everybody to be out there. You know, and Lanzilli, I love Chris Lanzilli. You know, he's just a smart hitter. He goes up there and he hits mistakes. You know, a guy hangs a slider, he bangs it. And so it's tough. I guess it's a good problem to have if you're Dave Van Horn, but you know, he's really good at pushing the right buttons and then right pieces in place. So we'll see what happens on Friday night. But I really do think if there was a guy that I could put in that lineup, I think I'd put Kendall Diggs in there and just say, here you go. Here's a DH role. Go get him Friday night.
Arkansas and Auburn, three times this weekend. Game times Friday, 7 o'clock on SEC Network Plus. Saturday's game is going to be televised by SEC Network, 4:30 start time on Saturday. And Sunday's finale will be on SEC Network Plus at 1 o'clock. Come to WholeHogSports.com throughout the weekend. We'll have coverage from the series, big series, potentially an SEC West deciding series between the Razorbacks and the Tigers. For Bubba Carpenter, I'm Matt Jones. We appreciate you joining us today, and we'll see you next week on the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast. Have a great week, everyone.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.